Okay, so we were talking about dealing with equipment, and you were saying you weren't quite sure what had happened now that there's a new sign, Global Recycling, at the elevator. Yes, the elevator was sold for the usual, what, $1 to the recycling company, who is, I have heard, trying to make some money from it. So I did take a tour of the elevator a couple of months ago, very tragically, I felt. So they were looking at perhaps somebody, having somebody take it over for the use of the dock, exploring any kind of possibilities of what they could do. But because they're a recycling company, they're also interested in, you know, any kind of salvaging profits that they can make from it. So dealing with the equipment then, I think we ended this off with you saying that people came in from P&H to look at what was salvageable for use. Where would they have used it out west?
What they did was, from what I understand, they have a we have a country operation in Transcona, and there used to be a feed mill associated with the elevator there. Quite a few years ago, they shut the feed mill down, so there's some very big warehousing there. So what I understand is they've taken all the stuff from what they wanted, and they've kind of just put it in Winnipeg in these warehouses, and then they have, you know, they have a country operations in all three western provinces. So I mean, the majority of this stuff is the same, whether it be country or whatever, even. They'll just use that as a distribution point and use it within their country operations. And that's, and then, like I say, the employees, the transition was pretty transparent. It went well, as far as I understand. And then it was just a matter of locking the doors and giving up your license.
And what does giving up your license mean, actually?
Well,
physically handing it over? Or?
Well, you know, you just say you're giving up your license as a terminal operation, you know, which is a government license to operate a terminal facility. So you said, that's it. We are no more. So that was it.
So how did you feel on that last day? I mean, it's a horrible way to sort of end the interview, well, but...
You know, I don't know whether my principals would be happy with me divulging this information, but I will divulge it, and it bodes well to the point of what I said about the company that I work for. I was going to pull the pin, as the railroaders would say, which is retire. One of the principals of our company said to me, "Tom, hang on. There's something in the wind, and I'd like you to hang on, please." And this was probably about a year prior to the actual closing. And I said, okay. So as time went on, I don't think I was totally instrumental, but I mean, I helped along the way of probably the transition, probably employee transition more than anything to kind of make sure our people got a fair shake, you know, between myself and the union, I guess. Because I guess I'm still kind of old school. I mean, I may be management, but I do realize that, you know, people are your best asset, and anybody that doesn't believe that probably won't be around for over 100 years like P&H was. But anyway, it was kind of mixed emotions. I was ready to go. I was ready to go probably a year prior to that. I'd been there, and there was a lot of changes that I went through with the whole situation with the grain trade, and there was a bunch more coming up. And you know what? I didn't have the wherewithal to carry on with that, and it kind of worked out very well for me. And my assistant, he pulled the pin, and he left the same time as me. And
who was that?
Rod Wittick. And it's kind of an ironic thing. Rod's dad was the superintendent at Cargill many years ago. Passed away young, 53 years old. But it's funny how Rod came to work at P&H, and now P&H and Cargill are together. I guess it's kind of funnier for him than it is for me, because I didn't even realize that Cargill at all, other than Jerry Franklin being a close friend.
Do you think that Rod would be a good person to,
interview? No, Rod's not that kind of guy. He's kind of an in-house kind of guy. But
to sort of balance off that sort of sweet, sad farewell to the elevator, and at the same time to your career, what was the funniest thing that ever happened to you during your career, would you say? Were there any amusing things?
Yeah, I kind of thought about that stuff, and I guess I can remember back just after I became a foreman, and we had some problems with mixes of commodities in bins, and somebody was almost like a person was sabotaging it, as it ended up. That's more or less what it was, but. And this person ended up losing their job, but we were shipping to a boat, and I think we were supposed to be shipping barley, and the next thing is wheat comes, and the next thing oats come, and the next thing durum comes, and Larry Carroll was the manager then, those were the days, the rah-rah days, so. He kind of lost it. He grabbed the radio that was in the foreman's office and went out the door and threw the radio against the side of the ship. And he just said, too damn much listening to the radio and people not paying enough attention to their job and the whole bit and everything. And he went on and on and on with some expletives, that you can only imagine. And it was a very trying time. I mean, that's terrible. But anyway, about an hour later, he came up to me and he says, by the way, whose radio was that? And I said, Larry, you bought that for the office. So, I mean, that's just a kind of a little play. But that's the kind of relationship we had. And I don't know, Larry Carroll was quite a character, and he was rough and gruff, but he had a heart of gold. I think that was, he put on this persona of making lots of noise, and that was his thing. But when it was all came down to it, he was a pretty good guy to work for. But he was the old school gang, a little different. A lot of business done at lunch hours and. As you well know, kind of lunch kind of went into yeah, well, it's not much point. It's 3 o'clock. It means we'll not go back now. You know, but that didn't happen once. You still had to have the responsibility and the whole bit. So anyway, there's probably some comical things, but the majority of them might be a little bit too off color for this, and I wouldn't want to divulge them. But it was fun. It was.
You can
fun.
Tell me offline, because then I'm going to interview myself and say I can't tell you told me this, but here are the stories I've.
But
heard.
Anyway, this it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, we went through quite a few characters. You know, it's like I can remember just to let you know how it was in the old days was I went to use the washroom once and. I went to flush the toilet and nothing happened. So I lifted the lid off the toilet and the reservoir, and the reason why there wasn't any water in it because there was about 8 bottles of beer in the reservoir. And those were the days. You know, there was a lot of booze going on in the waterfront. I guess up until probably. The time that a fella from Saspool lost his life, fell in the slip and drowned. And that kind of put the kibosh on everything as far as, you know, it was amazing though, nobody got hurt prior to that. But anyway, yeah.
What are you most proud of in your, when you look back?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to really think about that.
It could be just a situation. It can be a broader view of your time there.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
You know, say you were talking to your grandchildren, assuming you have some.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I get lunch.
You know, I'm really proud,
well,
little grandson of this.
I'm not that kind of guy that pats himself on the back very, very well, and I have a hard time doing that. I mean, I'm proud of the fact that the legacy of P&H is carrying on, and that's not really a personal thing. It's like I said before. I'm very proud of the fact that I had the opportunity to work for the company that I work for. You know, I listen to a lot of people that work in a lot of different places, and you know, I find it really, really, you know, really, really fortunate to be able to have did what I did with the company that I did.
Here's a statement. Canada, in spite of a lot of things working against it, such as geography, climate, has established itself as a world leader, not alone, in grain trading. Would you agree with that? We're amongst the biggest players.
Yes, and I think... I think the fact of the matter that is what it is because of the quality. And the quality of the product. It is unsurpassed. You know, the quota thing that used to be the way it was when the with the Grain Commission going the way it's going, like who knows? But I mean, Canada was one of the only countries, probably the only country in the world that could sell their commodity on paper. And, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. If the Canadian Grain Commission put their sign and their seal on that certificate, that boded well with every country in the world.
And what part did you play in guaranteeing that quality?
we had to ship and move the grain and the, by the standards of the Canadian Grain Commission.
And what did you do to ensure that? You personally. This is where you get to talk about yourself, Tom.
Well,
I know
not
you're
really.
Reluctant.
No, I mean, it's...
What if
it's,
you hadn't done your job right? What could have happened if you hadn't done your job?
Yeah, I wouldn't be there.
Because?
Well, because the thing is that you have to make sure that you have the quality control within your plant, not just because of the fact of the Grain Commission. And that funnels right down to from the guy at the top to the guy at the bottom, and I think that's why we did as, and I believe that's why the people in Thunder Bay have done an excellent job. Any task that has been thrown at them, they were able to complete it without any problem whatsoever. Well, not a problem whatsoever. It's always easy to say that after the job is done. A lot of times there was a lot more to the situation, but, you know, rather than delving into all that stuff and patting yourself on the back, like, we got the job done, and let's move on to the next challenge.
We, Friends of Grain Elevators, are hoping, sometimes I think against hope, that we can establish a grain industry center here that recognizes Canada's accomplishment in and Thunder Bay as part of that, certainly a major part of it in the early stages of the grain industry. We want to recognize that accomplishment. So what kinds of things do you think deserve recognition if we were able to get? And we're looking mainly at the handling and shipping internationally as our focus to distinguish us from Western Canada, where they actually produce the grain. So what kinds of things do you think we should recognize in the center?
Well, I guess maybe the biggest thing that we did here, I mean, and it's kind of gone by the wayside, not totally, but partially, is the cleaning, is to getting the grain to the cleanliness standard of the Grain Commission, and our standards are very stringent compared to, well, we'll just use the United States for instance. You know, our cleanliness is what they call clean, and what we call clean is totally different. And I would say that the cleaning is probably the major thing that we do. And then once it's at that point and you're confident at that, then it's the shipping. I mean, it can be done. Wasn't there a model done years ago by somebody?
There is something that the Port Authority has stored away. Somebody actually told me that there was a working model somewhere.
There was.
And
you know,
I have
we
no
used
idea
to...
where it went.
You have any contact with Billy Green?
Oh, yeah.
That's Billy. He might know. Because we used to have there used to be a model, and they used to have the trade shows here years ago. And it was an actual model of the whole... Some guy's probably got it in his rec room or something. But anyway, yeah, if you talk to Billy, Billy's been around. He can probably know where somebody's got it hidden. Maybe it's in his basement. Eh?
Do you have any memorabilia? Did you take photographs? Did you
keep items
that will go to the junkyard after you're gone?
No, the only thing I did was I kept a couple of pictures of the elevator itself. That's all I did. I didn't really.
Okay. Well, I would like to thank you very much. This has been great. It's been years since we made our first contact, and life interfered along the way.
Yeah, when you came back to Thunder Bay to retire.
Again, two times. But we'll say goodbye officially here, and then we'll just sort of
wrap
it up with a couple of things I want to mention.
Oh, okay. Thank you.